Welcome to Techarity.
This is Tech Heresy podcast number 5001. I'm Spank Jones, the bastard operator from New York. Evil C, you want to give yourself a little intro?
Yeah, I don't know what much to say. I'm Evil C, New York too, and I like to write code, I guess. How's that?
All right.
I'm a
Mr.
Hey,
G.
I'm G, and or you could call me Bag, and I'm a software developer as well.
All right, a bunch of code monkeys and a freaking reboot monkey.
Oh, yeah,
ornery. Okay, how's that?
So we're gonna talk about the demise of Java. Now, I think that a bunch of people have been saying this shit since like probably 2005, but the reason I'm bringing it up now again is that I think that after Oracle purchased Sun, that basically, you know, this should be a segment. We're gonna call this segment. We got a name for a segment now. It's gonna be called Fork You. So I think what's gonna happen, I think that Java is gonna get forked. You know, and metaphorically and actually forked by Oracle. And I think that, you know, that whole promise of write once, debug everywhere is going to basically get fucked up.
Has Java ever actually lived up to that?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe. You know, you guys talk about a lot of JVMs and stuff, but yeah.
I think it has more or less. I mean, it can run on multiple platforms. The same code runs on pretty much every OS, right? And from that perspective,
as long as you stick to the core API.
Exactly, which is messed up. Now think about what just happened with Google the other day. They released Java into their cloud, basically. But you know what they did? They left out parts of the core API. So, yeah, they themselves have even forked their own distro now. So everybody's just creating their own thing. So, and the weird part is now that Oracle owns Java more or less, well, they own like the JCP and the JSR and all of that stuff, right? So now they can basically take it and do whatever they want with it and take it in their own direction. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. And, I obviously have my own opinion about what I think is going to happen. I honestly think that IBM is going to be the one to pick up the sort of open JDK mantle, as it were, and to like push that.
Oh, forward. I totally disagree with that. Because I think IBM is just going to, if they're going to do anything, they're going to pursue their own version of Java. But they're not going to pick up
which they already have.
Yeah, but they're not going to pick up OpenJDK. There's too many people out there. Like, I'm just thinking, think of all the Linux people out there who are going to contribute to that, right?
Well, I know, but they don't have, the thing is like, I think there's all kinds of rules and stuff about, I think that's what the JSR and all this.
Well, that'll be the official version, but now that they have OpenJDK, I think what I think is going to happen is it's going to fork into numerous different implementations of the language. In fact, I think it's going to go kind of language agnostic. I think the real development will happen on the JVM as a platform, and people will just either bolt on other languages, or they'll make their own flavor of Java, much like there's flavors of Unix or Linux, you know what I mean?
Kind of like Scala is. Scala is not exactly a flavor of Java, but you like that.
Yeah, exactly. So like, you'll have like a, you know, the bag language or whatever, right? And the real, like, IBM and Oracle will spend their time optimizing their versions of the JVM and screw the language. I mean, what's the point of, at this point, why bother really supporting the language when everyone's, like you said, forking it every which way, right?
So you think the real power of everything that they've done thus far is all in the JVM?
Yeah, it's optimizing the bytecode. At this point, I think that's pretty evident. At this point,
well, I think maybe you're right in some ways, but I think the thing is like think about who IBM and Oracle go after. Their clients are businesses, right? So maybe the JVM's interesting for like handheld developers and like people like that. They want to make, you know, things that run in your browser or little like rich media apps and stuff like that, and say like JavaFX or something like that. And then the JVM becomes kind of interesting. But for them, their business is like application servers. That's what the hell they're using Java for, right? So I don't, you know, I'm not sure what they're going to do. How does the JVM play into that? I mean, you're basically going to have the IBM Java application server, you know, WebSphere is just, that's what it's going to be.
Man, I'm waiting for you guys to kind of finish so that I can come out of here with like a really serious dissenting opinion.
Go ahead. No, I'm waiting for your opinion.
Okay. My heavily dissenting opinion is this, that the Java's promise of like write once, run anywhere, you can make the same case for the C core API. Like if you had a compliant C compiler, which there are tons, and you stick to the core C, like the ISO C API, then it'll compile on anywhere too. Now that API is really, really limited. You don't even get I don't believe. So in that sense, I don't think the whole like write once anywhere is write once, run anywhere is really, I don't ever really a Java strong point. I think the Java strong point was always that the API was massive and really fully featured. And that's and that you could get started pretty quickly because they had this big environment that they had put together that made it really easy to get underway, where you didn't have to deal with a lot of the stuff you have to do in other languages. Now, why I don't think, like, at first, if anyone's going to fork it, it's going to be IBM because Oracle owns it. So them.
Yeah, I know. That's like, what I'm saying.
Them changing is the new Java standard. It's not forking it. Like, everybody has to be the fork.
That's what I'm getting at.
They take
at.
It in a proprietary direction.
Right, because IBM's got such a huge stake in it.
So I'm going to make the case that actually Java's not going to change much at all because. And I'm going to actually point out two parallels. Actually, I thought of a third one on my way over here, or on my way home. JavaScript and OpenGL. JavaScript and OpenGL are two languages or APIs. Well, one's an API, one's a language, that survived past the demise of their parent, the company that created it. It's fractured somewhat, largely stayed together, and it's because there's a lot of people had a lot of stake in it as being a standard, and that's kind of the whole deal.
Right.
And Java is so much huger than that, so much huger than OpenGL or JavaScript. I mean, you could say that it's like the amount of money riding on Java is like 10 times as much, and maybe that's the motivation for Oracle to sabotage it. But I just don't think, I don't see it happening. I mean, it's kind of like. Kind of like COBOL, or I mean, like you could fork COBOL, and there's multiple variants, and there's dialects and whatnot. But I mean, it's still COBOL. I mean, there's still kind of a standard to it, and it's in everybody's best interest to kind of stick to it. Now, as for the JVM, I don't think the JVM is really that big a deal, because if you're going to build something like that, I think LLVM is going to become a much bigger deal soon, because the more people target LLVM, because they're able to take LLVM bytecode and compile that into machine language. And that's like one of the stated goals.
I'm not familiar with LLVM. What is LLVM?
The low-level virtual machine. It was a research project kind of built around the idea of building better compilers. And the idea is that you build to a compiler that compiles to LLVM, which maintains information about the original source code so enough to be able to do optimizations.
Okay.
And it was kind of like what the JVM can kind of do that too. But this is built with the past 10 years of knowledge on how the JVM plays out.
It's like a hotspot that just translates into like your code into machine code.
Yeah, if you want to. They basically, the idea is that they're able to build a compiler that you have a total front end, which all it does is compile to LLVM, and then you have a completely separate project, which is a backend from LLVM down to the machine language of the view in question. That said, that whole project is not nearly as mature as JVM, because JVM has been around for, what, 12 years, 13 years? And you're right, Hotspot is amazing.
Right.
But I don't know.
The thing is, though, and it's been embraced, it's already in all these, it's entrenched in business already, right?
Yeah, actually, that's another argument. Sony has a huge amount of, as much as you think Blu-ray might survive, Blu-ray has Java embedded in it, BDJ or whatever it's called. And so that's another, you have the JVM basically cooked into millions of Blu-ray players out there.
Right.
Well, see, all right. So do you think that people confuse the JVM with the language?
Oh, certainly.
Right. So, yeah, so maybe Blu-ray's got Java built in, but really does all it have is an interpreter.
Yeah, I think what it's got is the Java virtual machine and then a subset of the API. And so, it's basically
just like Google's got, though, right? That's what Google's doing. That's what they do for Android. That's what they're doing all over the place. They just use Java, the language, as a baseline or an API, really, right?
Yeah, and they just kind of take their pieces from it. I come back to C. I mean, how's that different than somebody doing an embedded environment where they say, we basically support C, but you can't use malloc, which you can, you find that on microcontrollers and whatnot. I mean, that's basically the same deal where they took most of C except some parts of the API that are particularly problematic for them to implement. They just said, you know what? Screw it. You don't need that, but we cover everything else.
I don't know, man. I think the thing is that, you got two major application server providers, right? I mean, Oracle picked up BEA, so they got WebLogic.
Yep.
I mean, and you just talk about, the amount of businesses that are using, BEA or WebSphere. What else is out there? I guess it's, freaking .NET. So
there's Tomcat.
There's Tomcat, but I guess you're right. And there's JBoss and all those, but I mean, in terms of market share, I'm sure that those are, small percentages.
Yeah, I don't know.
What about all these interpreted languages and things that are using the JVM? I mean, you've got JRuby and Jython.
Well, it's not just the JVM, though, but it's any kind of interpreted. Well, interpreter. They're all good. So there's Iron Python, there's Iron Ruby, there's JRuby, there's JPython, right? There's Scala, right?
Yes, Clojure.
Right.
Clojure, right. All these different. That's why I'm saying I think the language as a whole is. The language, you could debate the future of the language because there's so many better alternatives that run in the same environment now. So right now, I don't know if you knew this, Bag, but I'm working with Ruby, and I just, from a Java point of view, this is just such a much better way to work for me. Yeah. I don't think I would ever write in Java, pure Java. If I could help it, I don't think I'd do it again. Do you know what I mean? Because I could write in JRuby and run my shit there. And to Spank's point, WebSphere, all these app servers, they're all just running bytecode, right? I mean, how many different...
See, the weird thing is when you get in an app server, right, you're getting the thing with all these interpreted languages, especially Ruby or one of those, right, is you don't have any of the application server-y bits. You have to build all these ridiculously silly extra parts to make the thing work to scale at all. So, you want to run Ruby, okay, fine, all right. Well, how the fuck do I deal with caching? Oh, shit, I don't know, I'll build a fucking Memcache server. And then, I need something that's going to distribute and do, load balancing or some shit like that. And so then you're getting, Light HTTP or Nginx or one of those. And it's so... There's not. I think if if you know, people came together and started building, you know, these sort of cohesive, you know, like the real power of like LAMP back in the day, you know, where you'd have like Apache and PHP and MySQL, that was like a little stack. I don't think there's a stack that has come out for like, you know, Ruby yet, at least that compares, that's competitive.
I don't know. I think Rails is a pretty decent stack. I mean, well, you got to supplement it with a bunch of plugins, but that's not really that problematic. You know, they make it easy for you to do that.
Right. You know, the JVM is such a tiny part of these application servers, though. I mean, that's, I mean, they can get complicated, but if you really just want a JVM, then it's pretty much a big fat switch statement. I mean, you could probably build it seriously in like 2 months.
Yeah, but what I'm thinking is that, like, you write in any language you want, and you compile or
you. Yeah, but the deal is like, if you to compile Ruby into the JVM, it's not about the bytecode. That's kind of easy. It's about making it so that the bytecode can call out to all the libraries that support the operating system, or that allow like get you to operating system level. So like it basically even just like printing to the console. That, I mean, there's just so much that you have to build this massive, massive layer around this tiny kernel of the actual virtual machine. So the virtual machine, I think, is only going to get you like 10% of the way toward having the full stack.
So then there is a future to Java in that respect, right?
I think Java's going to be around for at least 30 years, honestly.
I'm sure. Like, I mean, if people were saying, you know, back in the day that Java was going to go away, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, me saying it right now is probably ridiculous. I guess what I'm curious about is what direction it's going to go, because I don't really think it's going to stay on track. I think that it's going to head in some interesting places. I think that Oracle is going to make a serious move to try and monetize Java in a big way.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't really think that Sun tried anything, honestly. They tried a bunch of shit, and then they ended up basically going, well, fuck, I don't know what to do this. And they got so much pressure on them that they're like, all right, well, we'll just open source the whole thing.
Well, I mean, but I think the one thing that Oracle has going for them in that regard is that Java is not a specification like ISO kind of open. Like, there's an ISO C standard. So AT&T no longer owns C in that regard. But there isn't there isn't a thing like that for Java. So you might be right. I mean,
that's what the JCR is. Like, Java is a specification. It's not really like so IBM has their implementation of Java. Sun has their implementation of Java, right? It is a spec. There is a standard.
But
yeah, there's definitely a standard, and there's like a committee and all this other shit, and if you want to make changes, you have
certainly
to do all this
stuff.
Certainly,
who owns the trademark to the name Java?
Oracle.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. It's open. There's an open specification. Yeah, there's like the whole community process. But,
yeah.
I mean, that doesn't mean that ultimately Sun didn't still own it.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting at. I mean, yeah, it was totally open. And it's a big question. I'm kind of curious to see where Oracle goes with this because I don't know.
I think they're gonna basically make a move like to strip out all the crap off of it. You know, like I think they're gonna get I don't know. I basically think that, you know, all that JavaFX and all these other sort of like Swing and all this like stupid GUI shit and like all that, they're just gonna be like, fuck all that, I'm getting rid of it.
Yeah.
And then they're just gonna focus on the core, you know, the part that makes the money.
I don't know. I mean, I don't see. I think that there's a lot of value in keeping JavaFX, especially for Oracle. I think it's essentially a simplification of what was normally a very, I don't know, not complex, but a pain in the ass process. You know, like Swing, all that shit was just a pain in the fucking ass, right?
Yeah, but at least when that was there, it was part of the development.
Yeah, but nobody fucking
used it. You downloaded it. You got all that.
Nobody uses that.
What are you talking about?
Like, name me one decent application you've ever seen that was written in Swing.
That's name true. Me one decent yeah. application that's ever written in Java. I mean, like a client application.
Oh, a client app? You can't fucking do that. Well, oh, you know what? I got one. LimeWire. LimeWire was a swing app, but that was pretty moogly oogly.
Mm. Yeah.
Right?
I agree with that. Onomatopoeia was.
I'll never forget the first time I opened LimeWire. I'm like, oh my God, this thing looks like shit. It must be swing. And it was, you know, nice. it's so JavaFX is, you know what I think? If Oracle's going to do anything, they may kind of do their own core Java, but they'll open source FX and the GUI side of things. Cause that's what really needs. They need free manpower to come in and people with taste to actually come in and fix that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
That's the way the thing is, what bothers me is when you're saying that they're going to try to monetize Java, I think it's way too late to try to monetize that.
I agree.
What's the expression? The horse is out of the barn?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You gotta...
I don't know. I mean, that's what they do, though. I mean,
I don't know if they do it so successfully, though.
What are you talking about? Look at how much fucking money they make selling that stupid, crappy fucking database that they make.
It's not a crappy
database. That thing is...
It's not crappy.
I'm of the opinion that Oracle has one great product and just a whole universe of crappy ones.
The one great product is their database.
Exactly. And if it wasn't for that one, that company probably be struggling. But that one database, they charge a fucking arm and a leg.
That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes price, if I pay, $150,000 for a car, I want the thing to fucking massage my balls while I drive it. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know how much shit you have to go through to get Oracle to fucking work on your shit? You basically, it's not like, I set up a Linux box and then I put the thing on there and it just works. Linux. No, I have to fucking mold Linux to fucking work with the damn thing.
Install Oracle. See,
it doesn't work. Yeah, no shit. Why can't they make it retard proof and just fucking?
Then again, how is that different than owning a Ferrari? It's a $150,000 car.
And it breaks down all the fucking time. And if it breaks, it's going to cost you.
Tweaky and super expensive to fix. And you basically have one guy in the state who can fix it. It's kind of like
similar. You're absolutely right. That's a great analogy.
So what makes that so great? Because when it works, the three seconds of exhilaration that you get when it actually works.
Because when you need a Ferrari, when you really need a Ferrari, you need a Ferrari. Kind of like with Oracle. If you really truly need Oracle, you need it.
Well, hold on. You know what? The thing is that
nobody does
right now. Yeah,
well, very few people do. And the thing is that they sell Oracle based on that. They're selling it based on the hope that you're going to be the guy who needs a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's exactly the people they're fucking selling that shit to.
But that's business. I mean, the thing is,
they're going to the IT manager. They're coming in. They're being like, you want to go to a strip club, do some blow, and get some lap dances?
and go for a handjob mobile?
Exactly.
Yeah, man. That's exactly what Oracle is. That is exactly it.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, dude, that's not a good product.
It's a great product if you're the one selling the handjob mobile.
Yeah.
I know, but dude, I mean,
you're selling
a great product from my perspective is something that you just plug in, you turn on, and it just fucking works, and it never falls apart. And you don't have to scratch your head and be like, "What the hell's wrong with this thing?" And
80% of the people who buy Oracle are probably buying it to make themselves feel more, because they feel like if they're like they need to have Oracle because they are a shit. And it's just not true.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, no, there's this one phrase I remember hearing it a while back, and it made me think of my boss. But there's this phrase nobody ever got fired for buying IBM. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly.
So I think it's the same thing. I think Oracle's nobody ever got fired for buying Oracle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Except when somebody has to write the fucking check.
But that phrase became something of a joke. in the mid-90s because IBM was not delivering on AIX, on its hardware. There's a lot of stuff that IBM was kind of stumbling around on. And that whole phrase became kind of, I don't know, antiquated. It's true now, though.
I think so. I think they're doing pretty damn good.
I think so, too. I think they made a huge mistake by not buying Sun. I mean, they just made a massive misstep.
I don't know about that. I think they made a good play. They were like, you know what? It's not worth the money that we'd have to spend. And I think that was a good decision.
I think they went in there and they were like, I know somebody else is going to buy this. Let's fucking go in there and jack up the price on them.
I think that was it, too. Because it's like, they're like, the FTC will never let us buy Sun. So the best we can do is to make it super fucking expensive for somebody else.
No, I think they were like, you know what? This is a good product. This is the price we're willing to pay. And Sun was twofold themselves, really. Or they knew there was some other buyers and it was pay more. And IBM knows they know what Sun has to offer. First off, they don't need their Sun's hardware. They have their own. All they needed from Sun was the Java shit. And they have that already, really. So they know what Java's worth. And that's what they're going to buy it for. And
they didn't need a hardware.
That's what I'm saying. So what they were going to purchase, I guess, would have
clients.
Right? What else does the Sun have?
MySQL.
MySQL, OpenOffice, VM, Toolbox.
Well, first off, OpenOffice is a fucking joke.
I've been using it, and it's not that bad, dude. When was the last time you used it?
From this experience, what I would compare OpenOffice to is Entourage.
Mm.
Right? Which is...
Jesus Christ, I'd rather get kicked in the balls than use that piece of
shit. Exactly! That's what I'm saying. Right now, I'm like, I'd rather pay $300 than try to use OpenOffice again. Because I try to use it on my own machine at home. And it was such a picture yourself as like a typical business user or whatever. And you get this PPT and you open it up and like half the shit just doesn't line up right. It's just such a pain. And you're not,
it looks
and
like
you're not
shit,
technically
yeah.
savvy enough to know why. And you're like, okay, fine, this is a bug. I know it'll all come out in the end correctly. But you just visually, the cues are all, and everything is just, you know, it's such a...
I know, it looks all fucked up. And guess what? You shouldn't care.
No,
wait, is that because OpenOffice sucks, or is that because OpenOffice isn't Microsoft Office?
Exactly, that's what it is. If you were to build documents inside of it, you'd be like, oh, this thing works good. But if all the cross-compatibility shit, imagine trying to deal with Microsoft. Oh, any product that ever tried to integrate with them is doomed for failure.
Which is why I think Mono is doomed, which is another good thing for another episode.
Yeah.
As for IBM buying Sun... I think it was a huge mistake, and here's why. I'm trying to think about it. Like, the phrase that I heard was from sand to SQL results. What other companies can provide the entire stack from the very bottom, from like chips to the database with DB2? And IBM can do it. Who else could do it before Oracle bought Sun? And that's why I say I don't think Federal Trade Commission would have allowed IBM to buy Sun, and they may have known it. But
I'm going to put a proposition here. Finish your thought.
But now, by Oracle buying Sun, now there's two companies that can do that, and they're the only company that can now compete with IBM on the entire scale. And it's going to take a lot of work for Oracle to integrate itself. And it's going to be like 5, 10, 15 years before they have their whole shit together to pull it off. But there was no other company before a month ago besides IBM that could do that.
Well, here's my thought. If Larry Ellison is listening to this, he can. I'm calling it now. IBM already tried SAN to SQL, and it doesn't fucking work. That's why they went into consulting.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's their core business, you know, is a service.
They were SAN to SQL in the 70s and early 80s. Right, that was it. They were your one-stop shop. They had the database, they had the mainframe, they had everything, and they realized that that's not where the profit is.
I think
Oracle's going down that same road right now, and I think eventually. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
the industry got big enough and standards became solid enough and everything kind of came together that you could get away with buying multiple pieces of the stack from multiple vendors. Exactly. So you didn't have to buy it from one person anymore. You're right. Okay. Here's my prediction for Java. I think we should make predictions and then just wrap it up. Okay, so my prediction for Java is that it's going to become loosely fractured, that there will be a Java standard, and that most people will stick to, say, 80% of it, and the other 20% of it will be iffy support. And if Oracle is smart, which I don't think they are, but if they are, what they'll do is start the new versions of Java going in direction of Java profiles, where subsections of the API will be supported under a given profile so that you can say, my app will work under Java profile AV and network. And then you can rely on instead of having to get the entire Java package.
Right.
Okay, so that's my prediction.
Evil C, you're up.
All right, so my prediction is that Java as a language stalls at Java 7, that more languages built on the JVM either flourish or die, but essentially that you'll be able to pick whatever language you want to write with to the JVM, and it'll run pretty much anywhere. That's my so you could write a JRuby application that'll run in a WebSphere application server eventually.
Huh. All right. Well, my prediction is again, I think it's the I think that IBM is either going to stick with Java 6 and almost like what Evil C is saying, but basically Oracle will release Java 7 and it'll be like a stripped down, you know, whatever the hell they want to do with it version, and IBM's going to maintain some sort of bastardized implementation of their own, and so it's going to get fractured and fall apart, and then everybody's just going to start using Ruby.
What have you seen of late that you really liked?
All right, the coolest thing I've seen recently was that the Green Plum is cool, so I'll just say that. That's
I need to check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I think the cool thing I've seen recently is OpenCL. Yeah, Open Computing Language, in the same vein as OpenGL and OpenAL. It's CAPI for offloading computing onto a general-purpose graphics card processing.
Oh, yeah.
It looks really cool.
And I like Wolf from Alpha. Sorry.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about Wolf from Alpha next time, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
Okay. All right, guys.
All right.
Cool. Bye. Hey.